May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I recently read an article that caused me to rethink something I hadn't given much thought to before. The article was written from a business perspective and talked about a habit I'm guessing some of you can relate to. Those of you who work in office settings, when you're interacting with people, either one-on-one or in a meeting, how many of you have your cell phone either in your hand or on the table right next to you? Does anyone else do that? I do it all the time. My cell phone has my calendar on it, and I often use it to take notes during meetings. It is helpful to me. It is useful to me to have it there. But it also communicates something to other people, because it also buzzes and dings and rings to alert me to phone calls and text messages and status updates, which means that it can easily, so easily, pull my attention away from the person I am interacting with. What that article helped me to see is that even holding a cell phone in your hand when you are talking with someone can unintentionally communicate to them that your attention is divided, that your focus is split between them and your phone. So the article recommended a shift. Simply by putting your phone in your pocket, or even leaving it in your office, can communicate to the person that you are speaking with that he or she has your undivided attention. Now, on a practical level, this seems like a good and helpful rule of thumb, not only for relationships with coworkers, but also for our relationships with family members and with friends. When we have the opportunity to be with people face to face, it's important to let them know that they have our undivided attention. And on a spiritual level, I think we need this shift too. Because how many of us try to spend time with God while also holding on to distractions? How many of us try to deepen our faith until something else comes along that grabs our attention? We live in a world that has made multitasking the norm, a world that distracts us and divides our attention in so many ways. So we need this season. We need this season of Lent that invites us to let go of distractions, so that we can connect with God and cultivate our faith. As you have already heard, our theme for Lent this year is cultivating and letting go. We're drawing on the work of gardening to see what we can learn about the spiritual practices of cultivating and letting go. Those of you who love to garden, you have told me that cultivation requires effort, energy, intention, and care. It turns out, I think, that our relationships with God need those same things. Cultivation also necessitates patience, waiting, relinquishing control, and letting go. That sounds a lot like what our faith requires of us, too. So since Lent is traditionally a season when we give up something so that our faith can grow, we're going to use our Sunday morning worship services to focus on what God is cultivating in and through us, and also what we are letting go of to create space for something new to come to life. Cultivating, letting go. Both of these are powerful spiritual practices that will allow for the gift of new life to take root and flourish in our midst. Now, we're not only going to hear about the theme of cultivating and letting go over the next 6 weeks, we're also going to see that theme come to life right here in the sanctuary. A few weeks ago, a Lenten worship arts team came together to dream up ways that we could visualize the practices of cultivating and letting go. So the white trees that are up here near the choir loft, you might just see them bud and blossom. And those trays that are empty now up on the windowsills, they may not stay empty for long. You'll just have to watch and see what happens. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, we need to focus on where we are today. Because the journey through Lent starts not with flourishing, but in a place of desolation. The journey through Lent starts in the wilderness, which is where we meet Jesus. Now, Jesus' time in the wilderness is a time of testing. We usually translate that Greek word as tempted. We say Jesus was tempted by the devil, but that word is better translated tested. Jesus wasn't facing temptations in the same way that we think about the temptation to eat an extra piece of cake or to spend all of our time glued to our phones. He wasn't being tempted to take up bad habits. Rather, Jesus went through tests to see whether even good things could lure him from a focus on who God had called him to be and what God was calling him to do. If we look at the first test, the challenge the devil gave Jesus, in a sense, seemed innocent enough. Turn a stone into a loaf of bread. If he could do that, if he could turn a stone into bread, he would be able to satisfy his own hunger after a long 40-day fast. And if he could turn one stone into a loaf of bread, then maybe he could do more. Maybe he could also turn the abundant stones that were part of Israel's landscape into bread that could feed lots of hungry people. And that wouldn't be a bad thing, right? But it wasn't what Jesus was called to do. Or rather, it wasn't all that he was called to do. So the second test. The devil offered Jesus authority over all the kingdoms of the world if Jesus would just pay the price of worshiping the devil. Then the devil would hand everything over to him. Now remember that most of the known world in Luke's day was under the heavy-handed control of Rome. So surely it would have been so much better if Jesus was in power instead of Rome. But again, Jesus said no. He would not risk giving his allegiance to something that was less than God. He would not turn his focus from what God was calling him to do. And God had not called him just to have earthly power. Then the testing moves to Jerusalem, the place where Jesus' ministry would ultimately culminate and where the church would eventually begin. There, the challenge was made even trickier by the devil's use of scripture. The devil quoted from Psalm 91 verses that promise God's protection to those who are righteous. The temple was the place where presumably the most righteous, the priests, were carrying out their work. So the devil challenged Jesus, "Go there and discover what you are really made of. Go to the center of religious life and reveal your glory. Throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple and let the angels swoop down to save you. Don't you trust your God?" And wouldn't that have been an amazing display of power and glory? Maybe even a display that would have drawn more people to Jesus than the slow and steady work of traveling by foot and teaching and preaching and healing along the way. But again, Jesus would not turn his focus from the work that God was calling him to do. And God had not called him to be a magician who could save himself. God had called him to be the Messiah who would save the world. All of these tests from the devil were attempts to steer Jesus away, to steer his focus away from his mission, away from the work that God was calling him to do. And that is so often the challenge for us too. That's what makes temptation so hard and tricky, because temptation isn't just the lure toward something that we should not do. Temptation is often the distraction away from something good, the temptation to turn our focus away from God. For Jesus, the temptation was to limit the scope of his mission, to focus on feeding people's stomachs instead of nourishing their souls, to focus on worldly power instead of divine authority, to focus on saving himself instead of saving the whole world. But Jesus didn't fall for those distractions. He kept his focus on God because he knew who God had called him to be, and he knew what God was calling him to do. So, friends, we have an opportunity this Lent to let go of all the things that can distract us from knowing in the very center of our being who God has called us to be and what God is calling us to do. We have the opportunity to let go of those distractions so that we can focus more fully on God and so that we can cultivate more deeply our faith. Now, you will notice that you had one other thing in your bulletin. You have a piece of origami paper. Each Sunday during this season, we will have the opportunity to write on this paper the things that we are letting go of. This week, the invitation is to write down the distractions that you want to ask God to help you let go of, so that you can focus more fully on knowing who you are as a beloved child of God, so that you can focus more fully on doing what God is calling you to do, to share that love with the world. What are the distractions that you need to let go of? Either the voices in your head that tell you you are not beloved, or the things that take your time and attention away from the work that God is calling you to do. So you have the opportunity to write those down, and then at the end of the service, before you leave the sanctuary, you have the opportunity then to come and place your piece of paper here at the foot of the cross, to lay your burdens down, to let go of them and give them over to God. You will have the opportunity to do this every Sunday. We will be letting go of things so that we can be fully ready for the good news of Easter morning. Now, friends, the other invitation, if you are not a writing kind of person, we know that this might not appeal to everyone. We will collect your empty paper back from you. You can give it to the deacons. There will be a tray in both the deacons' area and the narthex. We will collect your empty paper, and we will give it out again next week so that someone else can use it. So we invite you, friends, this week to think about what distractions you need to let go of so that you can cultivate a focus on God and deepen your faith. Amen.